Okay, good evening, everybody. So tonight we're continuing in Siman Reish Nun Gimel in the Ramah in Si'if Hey. So we are holding on page 46, two lines from the bottom of the page, V'kol HaDvarim. So today's Amud is Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. So let's see the Ramah. V'kol HaDvarim Sha'asur Lasos Midvarim Elu. All of these things that we've been talking about that you're not allowed to do, Hachzara and Nesina L'Chavchila, all of these things that you're not allowed to do to heat up your food, Asur Lomar Leinu Yehudi Lasos. You're also not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do. In general, that's a rule in Halacha. And anything you're not allowed to do, you can't ask a non-Jew to do. L'chein, asur lomar le'inu Yehudi, l'chem akaderim and etzdanin. And therefore, you cannot ask an inu Yehudi to warm up your pot of tea if it has cooled down. V'im asakein, and if he did so, asur li'achla, I guess tea would be not something you eat or drink, but you wouldn't be allowed to eat it. Afilu tzonein, you wouldn't even be allowed to eat it cold, meaning even after it cools down, it would be asur to eat. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkatan Sadi Dalid. Even things that are only asmi drabanan, things that are not bishul, it's just chazaro or shihi or something like that. Even if the guy is not putting it on the fire or on the stove directly, if he's not putting it on the stove, it would not be a violation of chazara. But if you have a liquid that had cooled down fully, and then the guy is heating it up for you, that's bishul. That's real bishul. As we're going to see in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Yud Ches, in about a year from now, I think, when we get to Shin Yud Ches. Umikom makom, kasva magin Avram v'shari achronim, the magin Avram, the other achronim, write, to b'diavid yesh lahatir atav shul bovin zesh lo amidu alei shmamish, ki malatan or ma'achrit yesh poskin shematir nafil yisrael lasos l'chadchila, kamo shkos sham siftes vav baga. Now, this is an important yisod that he sort of, I just read very quickly, and that is that since there is an opinion that a previously cooked liquid may be recooked on Shabbos, even though we don't pass like that opinion, once it's cooled down, we pass it, I'll let it recook it. But since there is an opinion that holds that you can do that, so it's not going to be a violation of Maisa Shabbos if a guy does it for you. If a guy does it for you, you're allowed to benefit from that. So that's a rule. Whenever the guy does something for you that there's some opinion that holds his mutter, you're allowed to benefit from that. Sivkat and Sadivav, Afilu Tzonein, even if right now it's cold, you're still not allowed to eat it. I mean, he heated it up for you, you waited till the heating up is gone, and now it's cold, still can't eat it. After lo nanim imlach seni yudi, even though you're not getting any anah from his malacha because it's cold now, mikol makom kansu shiamtan alav b'kdei shiyasa. They still made a knas that you have to wait until the amount of time it would take to heat up after Shabbos. Hol v'nas malacha de tzuviyo, because you asked the guy to do this for you and he did it for you. V'masa inu yehudi kein me'atzmo b'shvil yisrael. But if you didn't ask the guy and he just decided to warm up your food for you, then shari lechel tzonin. Then you're allowed to eat it cold. Because you're not getting any hana from your malacha, and you never wanted it. And therefore, it's not up to you to aser it for it's not up to the guy. The guy doesn't have the ability to aser it to Yisrael by him on his own volition going and heating it. But if you see the guy going to heat it, you have to try to stop him. So if you ask the guy to heat something up for you, and he does, and then it cools down, you're not allowed to benefit from it. Even though it's cool, you're not allowed to benefit from it for the rest of Shabbos until after B'kdei Sheyasa, after Shabbos. But if he did it on his own without you asking him, then as soon as it cools down, you're allowed to benefit from it. If it was something that some poskim hold as mutter, you don't even need to wait for it to cool down. Then you can benefit from it right away. Back in the top, Amnam, right? I think that's what we're up to. Amnam, im lo nitzdanin kol kach, shadayin ruim lechol. If it wasn't so cold to begin with, meaning it was still ra'ui to eat with its current level of heat, im chimmos ha'inam yehudim mutarin lechol. If the guy heated it more for you, then you're allowed to eat it. Because he didn't make it edible, it already was edible for you. Sivkat on sadi zayin, shadayin ruim lechol, l'chein avgav shenana me'acham shar b'diavit. Even though you're getting hana from the fact that it was heated, it's mutar kim shayachol lecha b'lochem, because you could have eaten it without it being warmed up. V'afilu emidu eni yudi al gabi yesh mamish b'tzivuyo afal b'kein ein lasar tafshul b'dieven. And even if the guy heated it up literally on the fire, it's still going to be mutter because it was perfectly edible beforehand. So it's not called that you're really getting hanoah. Mutar lecha v'afilu chim eni yudi tafshul b'asar b'yachad. And even if the guy heats up a cooked food and meat together, and the cooked food, the rest of the chalent, was not edible because it was cold. But the meat, which was edible when it was cold, does not become usser now that it's heated up, because you could have eaten it when it was cold. And this also is a klal, something that was usable before, and then the guy went and made it more geschmack, they made it better, does not become usser as part of Maaseh Shabbos. That's when the Dirshui points out, if a guy shines your shoes are perfectly functional without the shine. So the guy shines your shoes, you're still allowed to wear your shoes, because it's not called that you're benefiting from the fact that he did that. Okay, back in the Ramah, the second line, is like a boiler that heats the house. So the minhag is that you have non-Jews take pots from where they're insulated, and they put it over the boiler that heats the house. While it's off. Let's say the chimney, we'll call it the chimney, right? So while it's off, umaveris hashivcha achar kach hatanorhu, and then a shivcha comes and lights the chimney. Now the shivcha is lighting the chimney because she's trying to warm the house. She doesn't even realize that there's a pot on top of the chimney and that it's getting heated from this. And that reheats all of the pots, and that's perfectly fine. But you're not allowed to do that with a Jew. It has to be non-Jews that are doing that. So the Mishaburuk explains, have gone sadites lechei nogam adle elkay. This is going back on what we said previously. Perusho, meaning to say, the kevin chasulam aleinu yudi lahachem. Since you're not allowed to ask a guy directly to eat your food, lekach nogam sheinu yudi nosin atavshel shenizkar legamri al tanur kodem shusak. So the best way to get around that is to have a non-Jew take your chalent, and which is totally cold, and put it over the chimney, over the mantle by the chimney, or wherever it's going to get hot. There's no iser yet because there's no fire there in the boiler in the chimney. The fact that a guy comes later and lights the chimney, they're just trying to heat up the house, which is mutter. Why is that mutter for them to heat up the house and doing a malacha daraisa for you? Because when it's freezing cold outside, everyone's considered a cholda, and you're allowed to do amiru l'nachri for the sake of a cholda. So they're heating up the house, and that's totally mutter. They have no intention to eat your food, even though it's an automatic that the food is going to get warmed. Amiru l'nachri on that which is a psikresha is mutter. So the fact that he's heating up your house, that's totally that the shivcha is heating up your house, that's totally mutter. The fact that as the shivcha is lighting your chimney, she's also warming up your chalent, that's a psikresha. She doesn't even think about that. That's just an unintended consequence that happens from her eating, and you're allowed to do amiru l'nachri on a psikresha. Vida, you should know, the kol ze be'evalich, shebetan rebeis achorav shalanu. That's all by the evalich. What does that mean? Some type of boiler. She'ein derech levashal b'chol milmal al gabei atanu, where no one normally cooks by the boiler that heats the home. The kach nu chalomer dinu kavanah sein yudi besagrak chacham mabayis v'lo levashal akderus shomdos milamal al gabei atanu. So then you could assume that the intention of the person who's lighting the chimney is just for the heating the home and not for food, because they never use it for food. Avlatanum shakorin englisha kichin, but englisha kichin, which apparently are a type of oven that's used also for heating food, shederach hakol levashal b'chol al gabei and milamayla, where people all the time cook food over there. That is an absolute prohibition to put the food there before the guy then lights it up. Because then the guy clearly has in mind to cook the food that's in the pot over there as well. So he says, and this is what a lot of posts can say. So this hetzer that we have have in Shulchan Aruch is only when it's the type of chimney that would never be used to warm food. So we assume that that's not the guy's intention. Sivkatan kuf, asr b'chiyah gavna. So it's going to be, but if it's a Jew doing it, then it's going to be asr. Ratzalomar, lahoshev akaderus etzel tanur beis achoref. That means to put the pots by the tanur beis achoref, by the boiler, o alav, or on the boiler, afilu kodem esek, even before it's lit up. Even if the Jew only put the cold chalent on the boiler, and then the guy is the one that lit up the boiler, it's still usher, because that's like one person brings the food and the other one brings the fire, where the first person is also in violation of some iser. As opposed to if a non-Jew is the one that put it there, that's going to be mutter. Because their main intention is just to eat up the house, which is mutter. And based on this, it seems that we have a heter. Apparently, there was a part of the inside of an oven, that a compartment that would hold water, and the water would get heated in there. And the purpose was not to heat the water. The purpose was just that the oven shouldn't crack. Or that the part of the oven shouldn't crack. So, you know, if you have a pot that's heated up and there's nothing inside of it, the pot might crack if it's made out of cheres. So the purpose of this water was not really for the heating of the water. So if you have that type of water, the Jew is allowed to benefit from the water that was heated in there to clean your dishes. You can even ask the guy to do that. When it comes to the guy putting your chalent pot on top of the fireplace, that's going to be mutter, even though he knows why he's putting his your chalent pot on top of the fireplace is to warm it up. So for sure over here, where he's only putting water in the kedera so that it doesn't the kedera itself doesn't crack, he's not doing it to warm up the kedera. And it could be that even if the non-Jew puts the water in that kedera after the fire is on, shari gam ken mitamze, it's still going to be mutter, because he's not trying to cook water. He's just trying to stop the kedera from exploding. But once it's already lit, you can't ask the non-Jew to put the water in there. A Jew is not allowed to put the water into the kedera even before the Einu Yehudi lights it. So when you, I don't know, I'm not sure exactly what this is, but this is some type of water that is just there so that a kedera doesn't explode. So we're saying if a guy puts that water in and then a guy turns on that you know, that oven, you're allowed to use that water, because the purpose was not to cook the water. The fact that we allow you to wash your dishes with such water, that's only if it's not filthy with grease. Because if it was filthy with grease, then anyway it would be asr, because you're making the grease turn from a solid into a liquid, so it's nolad. I mean, the grease gets caked on, and then you pour the water, the hot water on it, and it makes it into a liquid. So what you should do is you should put the kli into the water rather than pour the hot water over them. Because then it's happening by itself. It's not you doing a maisa that's going to change this. That's really like a side point that you have to avoid the isser of nolad whenever you're using hot water on very, very greasy dishes. So maybe we'll stop there. And the main points that we learned tonight is, first of all, you're not allowed to ask a nachri to do anything that you can't do, even if it's only an isser midrabanan. But if there's a shita that holds, that it's mutter, then you're allowed to ask a nachri to do that. I can't see my notes for my main points now because the lights are off. One second, maybe I'll turn them on with my phone. I have the app. That's okay. I got it. One second. I gotta plan this better. Okay. Oh, someone else got it. Okay. So someone on the Zoom must have the app. All right. So the main point number two is that once it cools down, if you'd asked him to heat it, you still can benefit until B'kadei Sheyei Asu, right? I mean, if you ask the guy to heat it and then he heated it, even after it cools down, you're still not allowed to benefit from it until Motzei Shabbos. Number three, we said if it was usable before he heated it up, it was already warm enough to eat, it was already usable, and you didn't ask him to do it, he did it on his own, then you are allowed to benefit from it. And finally, we said that a Nachri can put food on the furnace, and then another Nachri can turn it on, because that's Amiru the Nachri on a Psik Resha. Because the second Nachri is turning it on, doesn't even realize that he's heating up food for you. And Amiru the Nachri on a Psik Resha is going to be Mutter. So, Bez Hashem, tomorrow, how's that going to work? All right, maybe I'll do a Zoom in the morning or something. All right, we'll figure that out. Okay, have a good night, everybody.